welcome all auspicious guests and Vaishnavas to Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir. Today is a very special day. We have many illustrious guests who have come to bestow their kind blessings upon us. And I'd like to introduce them to you. And you could all welcome them with great enthusiasm, very loudly. His Holiness Srila Jayadvaita Maharaj, who you all know very well, the chief editor of Back to Godhead, and one of the senior most of all philosophers and great Vaishnavas in the Hare Krishna movement. Everyone, please welcome him to the show. Srila Giriraj Swami Maharaj, who is the friend and savior of all living beings, who so fortunately takes shelter with his nice association. One of the dearest and closest of Srila Prabhupada's personal assistants. And as Srila Prabhupada said, Bombay means Giriraj. Special and very rare guest, Sri Narottamananda Prabhu, who is a very dear friend of mine and a very honored Vaishnava. In 1972, when Srila Prabhupada came to New Vrindavan for his Vyas Puja and Janamastami, my service was assistant cook. And I was assisting the head cook, who was Sri Narottamananda Prabhu. So he engaged me in washing his pots and cutting his vegetables. And perhaps because of that nice service I did to such a wonderful Vaishnav, I'm still allowed to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. He was also head pujari in Vrindavan when Srila Prabhupada first started the temple. And he's just a wonderful devotee. So I'd like you to welcome him in such a way that he won. He was the head pujari for Radharas Bihari Temple in Bombay, and the head pujari for Krishna Balaram Temple in Vrindavan. And hopefully, if you welcome him very nicely, he'll come often, and he can give us so many instructions, deity worship, cooking, and general Vaishnava behavior. So let us welcome him now to our talk. Karnamrita is here. Another special guest. Can you stand up for a second? This is Karnamrita Devi Dasi, and she's a wonderful devotee. When I first came to New Vrindavan from my travels and sadhana in India, that was in 1972. And at that time, Karnamrita was already living there. As far as New Vrindavan goes, she's senior to me. She was about 3 years old. And she was such a wonderful devotee, always singing and dancing. Her mother was there. And she grew up there in the Gurukula and is a very kind-hearted and wonderful devotee with very sweet faith in Krishna and loves the association of Vaishnavas. And I'm very happy that she has come such a long way. Please welcome her to Radha Gopinath Temple. And of course, to all of you, or all of each other, please welcome you all to Radha Gopinath. Very well. So, what to do with so many exalted souls? That's always a dilemma. But we'd like to hear from all of you. So if you could all speak for about 15 to 20 minutes, something about your remembrances of Srila Prabhupada or whatever other enlightening words you would like to give us. We'll begin with Srila Jayadwaita Maharaj.
Expecting this, but I'll tell a few stories. In 1976, Srila Prabhupada came to Washington, D.C., and I had flown from Detroit to Washington to help cook for Srila Prabhupada. So he was expected, and in the afternoon I was preparing rasgulla, because the temple had milk fresh from the farm, and you make the best rasgullas with milk that has not been previously boiled or pasteurized. So since they had milk straight from the farm, I thought this will be a good opportunity to make some Bengali sweet. And the devotees told me, no, this milk is not good for making rasgulla because it's too rich. So I said, well, I'll just try my best and we'll see what happens. So I was making rasgulla and I prepared some fruit also. And that evening Srila Prabhupada came and so many devotees were there. GBC members and important devotees were in a small room with Srila Prabhupada. So after some time I came with the rasgulla and the fruit. So Srila Prabhupada started to distribute the prasad. So he handed every person in the room a rasgulla. So there were not that many rasgullas. So I was a little concerned because, of course, I had prepared them for Prabhupada and I wanted to make sure at least he had one. So then I just kind of, you know, piped up and I said, Srila Prabhupada, you're not going to give away all the rasgullas and not save any for yourself, are you? So he promptly replied, I am not such a fool. That I'll give away all the rasgullas. But actually there was just enough. And everybody had one, including Srila Prabhupada. So then he immediately said, oh, these rasgullas are very good. And then I said, but Srila Prabhupada, they're not as good as Kesi Das's rasgullas, are they? Because he would always talk about this very famous sweet shop in Calcutta called Kesi Das, who make excellent sweets. But Srila Prabhupada, before he was in Washington, he had been in New Vrindavan, coming back to the point of New Vrindavan. So he said, ah, but in New Vrindavan, they're making better than Kesi Das. So he was complimenting the sweets of New Vrindavan, because New Vrindavan was a most special place, with so many cows and milk and sweets and very incredible. So that was one story. All my stories have to do with cooking because I was always in the kitchen. But even before this time, in 1971, when Srila Prabhupada came to Detroit for the first time. And I was the head cook. And devotees came from all over. There was, you know, maybe 200 devotees there. And again, I was in the kitchen. This also has something to do with New Vrindavan. And I was in the kitchen getting ready, cooking, and I was also making a fruit plate. And Kirtanananda Swami came from New Vrindavan. And he brought some paneer, some fresh cheese from New Vrindavan. So then he was a very famous cook. So I said, well, what should I do with this? Should I just put it on the plate like this, or should I try to prepare something? He said, make sandesh. And at that time, because I was also only a devotee for a couple years, and I was learning to cook, he said, make sandesh. And I had heard of sandesh, but I wasn't that expert, and I wasn't sure how to make it. So he explained to me, you just knead it a little bit, you mix in some sugar, and you cook it a little bit, and you roll it into balls. So you make sandesh, and you put it on, you know, you have it with the fruit. So I said, okay. So I took out the paneer, and I kneaded it a little bit, put in a little sugar, put it on the fire, and heated up a little bit, and rolled it into balls. I didn't know if I was doing it right or not, but I just did it like he said. And all the devotees went to meet Prabhupada at the airport. But because I was the cook and I had more work to do, I couldn't go. So I sent the fruit plate and I sent the sandesh with some devotee friends of mine to give to Prabhupada at the airport. So Prabhupada appreciated it very much. He enjoyed the sandesh and he says, I want this twice a day while I'm here. So then I made more work for myself. But at this time, we didn't really know how important Bengali sweets were, and that Prabhupada was from Calcutta, and that these sweets were so special, and that he enjoyed them so much. It was not at all known. There were so many sweets, like halava and sweet rice, but rasgulla, sandesh, and unlimited other Bengali sweets are very dear to Prabhupada's heart. So I used to make sandesh twice a day for Prabhupada. And one night, there was, I guess it was in the afternoon, there was an initiation. And we had cooked a big, big feast of small preparations in honor of the initiations. And I was always kind of in the back of my mind lamenting that Srila Prabhupada is here, my spiritual master, I want to spend time with him, I want to go to the lecture, I want to hear every sound that he makes, but I was so many times in the kitchen. So after the offering, we went to Prabhupada's house because he was not staying in the temple was too small. So we took all these preparations, big, big, big maha plates, maybe three plates, and we went to the house where Prabhupada was staying in Grosse Pointe, which is a nice suburb in Detroit. And so many GBC and sannyasis were sitting there with Srila Prabhupada. So I put the plate down in front of Prabhupada, two or three plates, and Prabhupada looked at it, and he said, you cook like this every night for the deity? And we explained that tonight was special because of the initiations, and today we cooked a big feast. So Srila Prabhupada took a sample of a bakora and a few other things, and then he handed it to the devotees. He said, now you distribute to everybody in the room. But there was sandesh on the plate. Prabhupada didn't take the sandesh. So I said, Srila Prabhupada, there's sandesh on the plate. He said, oh? So I said, yeah, those white balls. So he picked up the sandesh. He ate half of it, and then he handed it to me. He said, now you finish. I immediately put it in my mouth. And when Prabhupada left Detroit, then we called ahead to New York City, and we said, Prabhupada really likes these sweets called sandesh. You have to make it every day for him. And then all the temples started telling each other. And then, you know, this was how we kind of grew up. We got an education. and what is the etiquette and what type of sweets and different types of cooking. And also on the same trip, Kirtananda Maharaj was cooking for Prabhupada, and he wanted to go back to New Vrindavan. So he said to me one day, "Narottam, it's really too bad that you're so busy cooking for all the devotees that you won't have time to cook for Prabhupada tomorrow because I have to leave." So I said, "No, I'll cook. You know, I'll make some arrangement." So I talked to the authorities and they arranged for somebody else to cook the next day for the devotees, and I cooked for Prabhupada on Ekadashi. So I became a devotee in Buffalo, New York, where I was a college student. And my classmates many of my classmates also became devotees. Jagdish Maharaj, Trivik Ram Swami, Prahladananda Maharaj, Bhagavan, Gunagrahi Swami, quite a few people went to school. We all went to school together. So when I used to go to the temple in Buffalo, they made certain preparations on Ekadashi. So when I was cooking for Srila Prabhupada, I thought, well, I'll make some of those same preparations. So one of those preparations was a potato sabji without haldi and with toasted coconut. So I made that preparation as well as other preparations. And then when I finished cooking, Prabhupada, I put everything on a nice tray and I told Prabhupada's servant to, you know, take it into Srila Prabhupada. He said, "I'm not going to take it." He says, "You cooked it, you take it." So I was a little nervous to take it in, but I was a young devotee. But I picked up the tray and went into Prabhupada's room. And Prabhupada was sitting. I think he was chanting Gayatri, but he was sitting in like in full lotus position with a very straight back and with a very sober, serious look on his face, like very, very transcendental. And I was very shy, and I just put the plate down and was very anxious, like. And then Prabhupada finished chanting his Gayatri, and he kind of looked at the prasad. He said, "Halava?" He saw the potatoes without the haldi, so it was a very light color. So it was Ekadashi, so naturally I shouldn't be serving halava, suji halava. So I said, "No, Srila Prabhupada, it's potatoes." And I felt more anxious then. But I went back to the kitchen to heat up the milk, because he requested milk. And when I came back into the room to bring the hot milk, he said, "You're a very good cook." So I said, "Thank you, Srila Prabhupada. In my humble way, I did whatever I could." And I said, "Please come back to Detroit again as soon as possible so I can have the opportunity to cook for you again." So in so many ways, Prabhupada, even though we were just babies, spiritual babies, and not expert in anything, he would always find something that was good, some way to encourage us, some way to give a positive energy to enthuse us in serving Krishna more. So it was a very wonderful time, very exciting time, and very good experience for everyone that was there. Because Prabhupada would always, you know how to encourage people. Because serving Krishna is not easy always. Because the material energy is very powerful. And there's so much, you know, Maya's doing heavy public relations work. She has everybody working for her. So sometimes it becomes difficult for the few people who are trying to, you know, do the real important work. But Prabhupada would always, you know, notice the individual and give encouragement, whether it was through kirtan or cooking or sankirtan. And it was very wonderful for all of us. Thank you very much.
So hearing all of the talk about prasad, I remembered some stories with prasad.
Well, the first time I came to the temple, I was under the influence of impersonalism. So I asked Srila Prabhupada a question, and he answered in such a way as to defeat all impersonal ideas. So at the end of the answer, one of the devotees brought out a huge platter of prasad for Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada looked at the plate, and actually he understood that I was either I thought I was God or I was trying to become God or something like that. So when the devotee brought out the platter, he said, "I am not God. I cannot eat such a big plate." And then he just took a little piece and said, "Distribute." So Srila Prabhupada was with us in Boston for about 10 days. And then he left. And it was a very tearful experience. Up until then, I was convinced that everything about Krishna consciousness was perfect, including the prasad, because the first night when I had the prasad, I never had experienced anything like it, and I was convinced about everything. But when we went to the airport with Srila Prabhupada and all the devotees were crying, I started to think maybe this is the defect, that Srila Prabhupada isn't here all the time. I didn't know when I came Srila Prabhupada was there. I never knew that he would leave. So I asked one of the devotees, who was really crying a lot, but I used to ask her my questions, so I asked her, "Why are all the devotees crying?" So she replied that Srila Prabhupada had said that on the absolute platform there's no difference between meeting and separation. Both are occasions of ecstasy. Well, the theory sounded good, but still I wasn't completely convinced about the practicality. But then a few days later, every day we would do Harinam Sankirtan. A few days later we were chanting in front of the, I think maybe Copley Square train station. And I remember I was playing cartels, a few other devotees were playing cartels, someone was playing Madanga. And I suddenly felt Srila Prabhupada's presence. I actually felt that he was right there. We couldn't see him, but I knew that he was right there. And then I thought that, yes, everything about Krishna consciousness is perfect. Anyway, after Srila Prabhupada left, the devotees went to clean out his apartment because he was staying in an apartment across the street from the temple. And one of the devotees came in with a jar of dal. And all the other devotees became extremely excited. And the devotees said that Srila Prabhupada had eaten from this dal, but that it was a few days old, and from the material point of view it had gone bad, so they were going to distribute it among the devotees. And they were waiting for some kind of response from me. And then one of them said that Srila Prabhupada said that if you have faith in prasad, even if it's gone bad, you won't get sick. So I said, yeah, I'll also have some. So they gave a little portion from the jar to each devotee. And, you know, I was extremely new, just a few days old. And I wanted to experience what it meant, what it was. So I took some in my mouth, and the initial contact between, you know, the dal and the tongue gave some funny taste. But after the initial contact, within moments, I started to taste the sweetest nectar. I can't even describe it. It was like the sweetest nectar I'd ever tasted. And then I thought, this is Mahaprasad. This is Srila Prabhupada's remnants. Anyway, I was still, although I was convinced and everything seemed perfect, but still I was observing. And so we had little Radhakrishna deities, and there were no special offerings for the deities, but whatever was prepared for the devotees would be offered to the deities. So I wanted to observe whether there was any difference in the taste between the food offered to the deities. So, you know, they would take the remnants from the deities' plate and distribute to the devotees, and I would taste that, and then I would taste the other prasad, and I would compare the two. And I found there was a definite difference. But I was a little afraid to express myself because I thought I might be speculating or something. But then, one day at prasad, one of the other devotees commented that all the prasad that comes directly from the deity's plate tastes as if it has a fine sprinkling of sugar on it, which is more or less what I was experiencing. So then I felt even more convinced that, yeah, she's also experiencing the same thing. This is not my mind. This is definitely real. So then gradually we became convinced and, you know, took initiation and came to India on Srila Prabhupada's instruction. And in 1971, we went to Gorakhpur, where we were guests of Sri Hanumanji Prasad Poddar of Gita Press. So while we were there, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's appearance day came. And Srila Prabhupada said, this is a very important day, so we must have a nice celebration, and we should invite all of our friends from Gita Press. We said, well, they'll all be busy during the day. So Srila Prabhupada said, okay, you have the feast in the evening and invite them all for some program. So after the program, we were sitting on the veranda. It was one of those old-style Indian mansions. And it was a nice feast. And then, towards the end, Nanda Kumar Prabhu, who was Srila Prabhupada's servant then, came down. And he said that Srila Prabhupada gave him two messages to convey to us. The first message is that my Guru Maharaj is very pleased with you all. And, you know, he will shower his blessings upon you. And the other message was that the feast was so good that I couldn't control myself and I ate too much. So, as Narottamananda Prabhu said, Srila Prabhupada was very expert in encouraging. I guess the last story I'll tell took place in Juhu in 1977, when Srila Prabhupada was staying in his quarters on the top of the tower, Morarji Desai had just become Prime Minister, and he had a place on Marine Drive in Bombay, and he was going to visit Bombay. So one of our friends, who was a member of Parliament, wanted to arrange for Srila Prabhupada to meet the new Prime Minister. But the whole visit was very short. He was just going to come one day, maybe spend the night, spend another day, and then leave. Anyway, at about 12:30 at night, I got a phone call in the Brahmachari Ashram from the Member of Parliament, and he said that Morarji Desai has agreed to meet Srila Prabhupada. So please confirm if Srila Prabhupada will be able to meet him. So it was 12:30 at night, and he wanted an answer immediately. So I said, well, I'll go and see Srila Prabhupada and try to get the answer, and I'll phone you back. So I went up to Srila Prabhupada's quarters, and naturally, about 1 o'clock in the morning, everyone was asleep. So I just, you know, ventured in. I walked around the pathway and came to the door, to the area where Srila Prabhupada used to stay. So I very timidly and slowly began to open the door, and I looked in, and Srila Prabhupada was on the far side of the room behind the translation table where he used to translate Srimad Bhagavatam at night. So I still wasn't sure what to do, but I offered my obeisances, and Srila Prabhupada saw me. So he motioned to me, come. Now at the time, in 1977, Srila Prabhupada was already ill, and he wasn't able to eat anything. Sometimes he would drink some juice, but otherwise he wasn't able to eat. So I came up to Srila Prabhupada's table, and I said, Srila Prabhupada, I hope I'm not disturbing you. And Srila Prabhupada said, no, since I have this disease, I can't sleep at night. And I can't eat either. And mating and defending, there's no question. So I guess I'm liberated. So, of course, Srila Prabhupada was liberated, but he, you know, very humbly and very sweetly attributed the symptoms of liberation to the circumstances. But even though Srila Prabhupada wasn't eating, he was very concerned that the devotees should eat nicely. And I remember one other time, actually, Yadubara Prabhu was just beginning to come. His name was John then. And Srila Prabhupada was encouraging him to eat. He was quite thin. But Srila Prabhupada was encouraging him to eat. And then he quoted the verse, Chaturvidashri Bhagavat Prasado, that the spiritual master takes pleasure when he sees the devotees taking Bhagavat Prasad. He said, he doesn't take so much pleasure when he takes Prasad, but he takes pleasure when he sees the devotees are taking Prasad. So this is one of Srila Prabhupada's gifts, Krishna Prasad. In fact, another time he commented that he will go down in history for introducing the manufacture of puris in America. So it's true. I mean, even Srila Prabhupada's jokes were true. It was one of Srila Prabhupada's many contributions, and one that we can very easily appreciate. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Bhagavat Prasad ki jai.
Hare Krishna. So I suppose there's no question what I should talk about. One incident that was indirectly related to prasadam. When I first met Srila Prabhupada in 1968 in New York, then one time Prabhupada said to me, he said, "Why are you so skinny?" Oh, no answer then, no answer now. I also had an experience with cooking for Srila Prabhupada, although my experience was different from Narottam Ananda's Prabhu, because he's him and I'm me. After I joined, I'd been a devotee for about 2 months, and I was appointed assistant cook to Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada was going to Boston, I was in New York, so his cook at that time was one lady, Govindasi, and she was rather frail, and she had other things, a lot of other duties, so she was getting worn down cooking. So they wanted someone to assist, and I got appointed, although I had no experience and no capability. So anyway, I was taught how to make the... Prabhupada at that time was eating very simply. He was taking a little simple dal, rice, chapati, some little eggplant and tomato preparation, some little, what are those called? Brussels sprouts, cut in half, little baby Brussels sprouts cut in half and just cooked in with a little butter. And just the only spices, a little cumin, a little chili, salt, and haldi. That's all. Very simple cooking. This was 1968. So no one knew how to do very much, and we were cooking very simply. So I was assisting. Then one day, managing all of these four preparations that we had to cook for Prabhupada, I managed to burn some vegetable. But it wasn't a total loss, because some of the vegetable was burned, some wasn't burned, so we got to serve to Prabhupada what wasn't burned. But Prabhupada knew what was going on, so he called me in. "Why was this vegetable burned?" And was quite strong about it, and either because nothing fazed me or just because I had some little inkling that everything was Prabhupada's kindness, I actually felt very happy to get blasted by Srila Prabhupada. Then, on another, that same time while we were cooking there, they had an electric stove in that house. So, cooking chapatis on an electric stove was difficult, because the electric stove, first it's cold, and then it heats up, and it just gets hotter and hotter. It doesn't maintain a steady heat, like fire or gas. So if you kept the heat too low, the chapatis would become like crackers. And if you put it on after it was becoming high, they would burn. Then, where do you blow them up? Because it's an electric stove, so there's no fire on which to blow up the chapatis. So in consequence of all this, Prabhupada was getting crummy chapatis, 10th-rate chapatis. And he was quite dissatisfied about it. And he complained for one day, and he complained for another day. And the third day he said, and we were giving our excuses what the problem was. Third day he said, "You just roll them, and then when it's time to cook, then you call me. So then we called Prabhupada, came in, and the first thing Prabhupada did after examining the situation, taking stock of the situation, he took a pan from the stove and turned it upside down so that the heat rises from the fire, from the electric burner, and creates a nice even heat. And then he began cooking his chapatis on the bottom of that pan. And Prabhupada knew the system. Maybe some of you know the system also. How to cook chapatis in a stack, 5 or 7 or 10. Does some of you know that system? You put the chapati, and then you put the next chapati and flip the 2 chapatis. And then you flip those 2 and you put the 3rd one. And you flip those 3 and you put the 4th one. And Prabhupada was cooking them like that, about 8 or 10 chapatis in a stack. And I still to this day, I don't know how Prabhupada was doing it. Because he'd always be taking one side of a chapati that hadn't been cooked and cooking it on the bottom of the stack, and taking a chapati that was completed off of the stack and putting a new chapati on the stack and cutting them like a stack of cards exactly in the right places. And I don't know how he was doing it, but he was doing it so fast that Govindasi and I were rolling the chapatis, and we were just rolling and rolling and rolling. And Prabhupada was saying, faster, faster. Another time, we were at an airport with Srila Prabhupada, and we were sitting in the airport, either Prabhupada was leaving or Prabhupada was coming, and someone had offered to Prabhupada some sweets, some fruit, and then Prabhupada said to distribute. And so the devotees began going out to the airport, because we were kind of in a corner that wasn't so occupied, out to distribute. Prabhupada said, no, give to the devotees. He said, charity begins at home. Then Dhiraj Maharaj reminded me of another story. In Los Angeles one time, we were on a morning walk, and Prabhupada, while walking, he said, so these days, I am not eating. He said, I'm not eating. He said, but I am working still. He said, so you are getting a bargain. You are saving money because I'm working, but I'm not eating. Another time, because you talked about that prasadam that had been spoiled, there was an incident in Mayapur. For the Mayapur festival, Gaur Purnima festival, one Western devotee, Amarendra Prabhu, came from Florida along with his wife, Gayatri Dasi. And Gayatri Dasi was also a very good cook, quite famous for her cooking. And she'd prepared some cake. So this cake, chocolate kind of carob cake and very rich, gooey American cake. So this cake was brought to Mayapur, and at once it was monopolized by the sannyasis. So there were smaller number of sannyasis in those days. Small crew. So somehow this cake wound up with the sannyasis, and it all wound up with the sannyasis. And within half a day, all of the sannyasis were sick like anything. Which made the rest of us very happy that we were sannyasis. So what had happened was that in the transit time from America to, must have been London, and then London to Calcutta, and then Calcutta by car to Mayapur, and then whatever. So this cake had become poisonous. So all the sannyasis had become poisoned, and they were really sick. They were stretched out on the roof of what's now the Lotus Building, just writhing in misery like dying cockroaches. They were really just retching and miserable. So then what to do? All these sannyasis are poisoned and vomiting, and maybe they're going to die. They were so much poisoned. So whether to take them to the doctor in Navadvip or take them to the hospital or what to do, Prabhupada said, give them Charanamrita. They let them all take Charanamrita and Tulsi leaf. And then everything will be all right. So they gave the sannyasis Charanamrita and Tulsi, and everything was all right. Another time, we were in Vrindavan with Srila Prabhupada in Prabhupada's last days. And Prabhupada was lying in his bed in those days. He was only lying in his bed. And one day when I had just gotten there, Prabhupada asked, has anyone come from New York? So I had come from Los Angeles, but I'd stopped for a day or so. So naturally I wanted to give a encouraging report to Srila Prabhupada. I began talking about so many nice things that were going on at the New York Temple at that time. So I said, Srila Prabhupada, you're distributing so many of your books every day, and I gave some figure or some how many Sankirtan parties there were. And Prabhupada listened, and he didn't respond, but he was hearing. And then I began talking about the deity worship, how the deity is so beautiful, and the dressing is very nice, and the puja is first class, and going on very nicely. And Prabhupada didn't say anything. And then I said how they had two or three chanting parties, and they were going out for so many hours a day chanting Hare Krishna on the streets. And Prabhupada didn't say anything. And then I said, and they have these carts that go out distributing prasadam. And Prabhupada said, what preparations do they serve? And I told Prabhupada something, what preparations they were serving. Prabhupada said, how many people are taking every day? So I gave some idea how many people there were, how many carts there were. Prabhupada said, and how do they like it? And then I said how people were appreciating it very much. And then I mentioned also that they have their Govinda's restaurant in New York. And again, Prabhupada said, so what preparations are they making? How many preparations do they have? Is it nicely prepared? How many customers are there in a day? How do the people like it? So in this way, Prabhupada was taking great interest. Same Chatur Vidashi Bhagavat Prasadam. Prabhupada was interested to see. Actually, at that same time, on another occasion, Prabhupada asked, so how are the what prasadam are the devotees taking? Because the devotees, Prabhupada himself wasn't taking anything, just some juice, hardly anything. But he asked, so what are the devotees getting? So fortunately, Govinda Maharaj was the cook at that time. So the devotees were getting very nice prasadam, because Govinda Maharaj is another famous cook. So Prabhupada was hearing the report, what preparations they're making, how the devotees like it, whether everyone is satisfied, whether there's sufficient. And he was very pleased to get the report. So in this way, even if he personally wasn't taking prasadam, he was taking very
great interest to see that the devotees were all taking prasadam and that prasadam was also being distributed to the non-devotees. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanande.
Nanda Prabhu has established the subject of today's discourse. This is just by his presence, everyone is immersed in glorifying Krishna's prasad. It was known that Srila Prabhupada very much liked rasgullas. So New Vrindavan, we had many cows. So we wanted to make nice rasgullas for Srila Prabhupada. But every time devotees would try to make rasgullas, they're supposed to inflate, blow up. But we could never get them to do that. They would just stay like little hard balls of paneer in the water. So Srila Prabhupada came to New Vrindavan, and just next to his quarters was a kitchen. So a devotee said to Srila Prabhupada, can you teach us how to make rasgullas? Because we can't, every time we make them, they're just hard little balls. They don't blow up. So he said, all right, you make the paneer, and I will make. So they asked me to make the paneer. So we made the paneer, and then Srila Prabhupada kneaded, and then rolled it into little balls, and then put it into the water, and put on the flame, and each, there was about 20 of them, and each one just blew up like anything, and everyone was just struck with wonder. Perhaps he has some mystic power. They just blew up like anything, and then he was just turning them over for maybe 4 or 5 minutes, and he says, so now, do you see how it's done? And the devotee said, yes, now we see how it's done. So he said, now you just continue stirring for a few more minutes. And he gave the spoon to someone else, and he went in his room. And as soon as that devotee put the spoon in the water, they all went, they all became hard little balls. And Srila Prabhupada asked, where are the rasgullas? And devotee said, Prabhupada, could you show us again? And as Narottamananda Prabhu was explaining, Srila Prabhupada very much liked Sandesh. So the word spread. In those days, ISKCON was like a very tight little family. And anything Prabhupada would say would spread throughout the entire movement internationally within hours, practically. And it became the topic of everyone's attention. So Srila Prabhupada said that his favorite sweet was Sandesh. So the devotees at New Vrindavan were thinking, because we have so many nice cows, we should make the best sandesh for Srila Prabhupada. So the leader of the community asked, who would like to commit themselves to make the best sandesh for Srila Prabhupada? And at that time I was taking care of cows. I would milk the cows and herd the cows with a stick in the pastures like that. So I was thinking that since sandesh is made from milk, and milk comes from cows, I should take this service. So I said, I will do. But of course, there was no time to do. So the only time to practice was at night. I had to stay up all night for months, several days a week, just practicing, trying to make sandesh. So finally, it came out, it appeared very according to what Prabhupada would want. So one devotee
took the sandesh to Srila Prabhupada. I think he was in London or New York somewhere. And Srila Prabhupada ate it. And as Narottamananda Prabhu was saying, Prabhupada was always trying to encourage devotees. He would say whatever was required to make us inspired to serve. So he said, this is the best sandesh I have ever had in my life. He said, who has made this sandesh? And it was Kirtananda Maharaj who brought it. He said, one brahmachari named Radhanath. And Prabhupada said, you should train all your brahmacharis to be like this Radhanath. And then this word came out, and it spread around ISKCON. So at that time there was a party called Radha Damodar Sankirtan Party. And one of the cooks was named Kula Shekhar, who was from Britain. And he decided that Prabhupada likes sandesh so much that I'm going to make the best sandesh for Prabhupada. So he practiced for several months, and then he and Adi Keshav Maharaj brought this nice box of sandesh to Prabhupada, and they gave it to him, and he ate, and they said, Prabhupada, do you like this sandesh? And Prabhupada said, it is very good, but it is not as good as Radhanath. He said, if you want to make good sandesh, you should learn from Radhanath. So Kula Shekhar quit the Radha Damodar Sankirtan party and moved to New Vrindavan. And when he saw the way I was making it, it was so primitive, because we didn't have any electricity or gas. We just had to go out into the forest and cut wood, and then use the wood and start a fire, and then get a little pot and cook on the fire. That was the only way we cooked in those days. And nobody really taught me how to make, so I was just knead it. I would knead this much curd, dahi, or not dahi, paneer. I would knead this much for about an hour and a half. And when he saw me making it, he said, you're completely wasting your time. But anyways, Srila Prabhupada encouraged me. And then when Srila Prabhupada came to New Vrindavan, in 76 actually, he said, he told me, you please make sandesh for me 3 times every day for every meal. So that was a very great blessing that he accepted my very insignificant attempts to serve him. And Srila Prabhupada, on every level, however insignificant, he would always be so enthusiastic to encourage the devotees to become more and more attentive to perform their service perfectly. Prabhupada wanted Krishna consciousness. And Krishna consciousness means that whatever we're doing, we're conscious that we're doing it for Krishna. And Krishna is the supreme. So we should give him the ultimate best that we could possibly do. And whether one is Hanuman lifting big, big mountains, or whether one is a little spider kicking grains of sand, Lord Ramchandra saw the quality of how they were just trying to please him. And Srila Prabhupada was like that. There were big, big sannyasis preaching the glories of the Lord to thousands of people. There were book distributors distributing so many hundreds and thousands of books every year for Srila Prabhupada. There were managers building temples, and Srila Prabhupada would encourage them, and even the little cook in the temple, if they made a nice little sweet ball for him, he just made them feel like they were the most important person in the whole universe, because they did that for Srila Prabhupada. Or the pujari, if Srila Prabhupada came into the temple and saw the deities were nicely decorated, sometimes he would just praise and encourage the little effort of the pujari to such extent. In this way, Srila Prabhupada encouraged everyone to give the best of everything they had in whatever they did for Krishna. And especially this was very prominent in devotees' efforts to offer prasad to him. Srila Prabhupada said prasad was the secret weapon of the Hare Krishna movement. Because philosophy, people know what is philosophy to some extent. And chanting Harinam Sankirtan, people have some idea it's religious. And book distribution, people understand this is a scripture. But prasad, they don't know what it is. They just think it's a cookie. And they eat it. And they appreciate it. And Srila Prabhupada says, if anyone appreciates anything a devotee has done, their Krishna consciousness is beginning. So in this way, Srila Prabhupada, out of his great, great mercy, encouraged devotees to take this prasadam distribution very, very seriously. He began his movement chanting, but after each class he would make it a point, however poor he was, to have some prasad. When he had no money at all at 26 Second Avenue, he would get someone to donate an apple. And however many people were in the room, he would cut the apple in that many sections. And he would offer it with his own hand. After offering it to Krishna, he would place it in every guest's hand. And he considered this a very, very important and sacred part of all of his satsangs. And gradually, through Ratha Yatras and Food for Life, by Srila Prabhupada's great mercy, this secret weapon of prasad has changed so many people's hearts. I know in the Western world, if you talk to old devotees, most of them will say what initially attracted them to Krishna consciousness was prasad. Yes? Every year we go to this rainbow gathering in America where there's about 10,000 to 15,000 young people. And the whole rainbow gathering is simply talking about halava. They love halava. We get sometimes 2,000 to 3,000 people a night coming just to see what kind of halava is tonight. And dozens of devotees have come from that program just by eating halava. This is Srila Prabhupada's genius. In the early days, he would have a big, big jar of gulab jamuns. And people who weren't even interested in the philosophy, he would give them gulab jamuns. And one devotee told me he used to come and Prabhupada would give him a jar of gulab jamuns to take home and eat every day and come back whenever they run out. And this devotee became one of Prabhupada's very, very close and intimate associates and disciples. So Srila Prabhupada's mercy was so deeply profound and so effective in somehow or other transforming people's hearts from material consciousness to Krishna consciousness. And also we should know that as Prabhupada was always trying to encourage everyone, whatever their service may be, we should also be in that mood. Always trying to encourage every devotee in whatever service they are doing. We should not have a material conception of big devotee and small devotee, big service and small service. We should try to encourage everyone, whoever they are, to improve the quality of their Krishna consciousness and feel greatly appreciated in whatever effort they're making to serve Srila Prabhupada's glorious mission. Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you very much. Prabhupada gave us Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings, which he said was simply joyful, chanting, dancing, and feasting. So we have discussed at some length the process of feasting. So at this time we would like to invite you to participate.